So, hello everybody. So, at Community Science really worked with these wonderful people here to put together the assessments for these ACA outreach and education events. And so basically what I have to say is that I have no relationship to disclose. So we're going to talk to you about the methods that we used. Oscar will then talk about the results and the conclusions and recommendations. So what we did was we basically had to work on an assessment form that was really quick and easy that could be given out at events in order to figure out what people were getting out of these ACA outreach and education activities. And we were trying to figure out, you know, here's one opportunity for us to get as much data as we can from consumers. What do we really want to know? And trust me, that list got was really long and we just had to whittle it down. And so we ended up with looking at really three dimensions. We wanted to look at reach. Who was being reached? How were they being reached? We wanted to look at knowledge, you know, before and after the events. We wanted to know whether or not they were learning something about the ACA, you know, whether or not they're eligible and things like that. And the last thing is we wanted to know uptake. That was really important. What are they going to do with that information after that? Some of the events allowed them to enroll on site, and some of the events didn't. And so we really wanted to know what were their next steps after they left those events. So this was sort of the framework we created in order to organize the information. This is the form we ended up creating, and it is one page. We're able to squeeze all of that into one page, and it's organized this way. The top is really about knowledge gain. We wanted to ask them about the types of policies available. Are they aware of that? You know, what are the ways to buy insurance? What are some of the tax credits and other programs that make insurance more affordable? What are some of the benefits they will get if they got insurance? And we asked them about before and after the event. The next set of questions was around intent to enroll. What are you going to do after this? You know, are you going to gather more information because you feel like you don't know enough? Are you going to have to go back and talk to your family and think about it? Are you going to make an appointment with a navigator right away? Are you going to enroll on the website or call the 800 number? So these were some of the questions we asked them about intent. The last set of questions was about who are we reaching? So we wanted to know gender. We wanted to know racial ethnic background. We wanted to know the age, primary language spoken at home. And then we wanted to know, was there language assistance available to them? Did they know about that, especially at the event? We wanted to know if they had access to a computer and were they comfortable using a computer? That was a really important question that we thought about later and wondered, like, how many people are really able to go to a computer and actually enroll themselves? So this was really the one-page form that we used and we shared and that our three panelists here then basically administered at all the events. And basically we had different ways to do it. We had paper and pencil, we had online, we did a QR code, and what we did was we actually did trainings on by phone with members of the RHEX who were going to do these events. So we did an orientation with them, explained to them what we were trying to get, and then we gave them all the information, and then they would actually go, and they got enough funding and technical assistance from us to be able to go and make copies, arrange, you know, whatever they need to arrange in terms of signage and things like that. And we had to think through things like, you know, when people are at an event, where are they entering, where are they exiting? How do you get them to fill out the forms? Where do you catch them at what point and things like that? So we really had to think through all of these with our partners in the communities. These are some of the forms that were translated into different languages. So we work with different people. Some of the partners helped us do it. Some of the translators we were able to get ourselves to be able to translate these forms into different languages. So with that, I'm going to turn it. Oh, well, actually, there's one more part. So we also did interviews because we wanted to know what worked, what didn't work in partnering with local groups to actually implement this. So, you know, as a national organization working with the federal office, we really wanted to know, yeah, how do we get down into the deep levels of communities and allow people to do this, because we know we can't do it ourselves. And so we interviewed community leaders, pastors and other people who are actually organizing the events and reaching out to their constituents to share this information. And we interviewed presenters, people who actually came in and presented information about ACA, and then the navigators on all of these items. So I'm going to turn it over now to Oscar to actually speak about the results, which is far more interesting.
Thank you, Kim. Good afternoon, everybody. First, I wanted to thank panel members. We worked together for quite a few months, and it was a wonderful experience. And I want to thank you for all your efforts. So the results, what did we find? So pulling it all together, we did have a common reporting tool. This was a historic first open enrollment. There were a total of 29 outreach activities. You've heard from the Southeast Health Equity Council and the Great Lakes Regional Health Equity Council. All total in Michigan, there were 15 events, in Ohio, 11, Tennessee, one event, but a big one, Georgia, a couple of events, and all total, we were able to document their efforts, and the reach was 2,255 participants. These are the special populations that participated in the events. African Americans dominated the number of events. We also had a lot of different Asian groups that participated. And as we heard earlier from Dr. Moore, the Young Invincibles were targeted. There was one event that targeted the formerly incarcerated. Demographics, 45% of the participants were African American, and again, Asian Pacific Islander, 40%, made up 40%. Mostly female, as you can see, 65.7%. Mostly from the 35 to 64 age range. So what did they learn? Mostly how health insurance works and how to buy health insurance. Those are the ones, the 2 points that have the greatest increase. All of the before and after had a significance at the 0.01 level. Also, as you can see, there were a total of 12 languages that were spoken by participants. Mostly, you'll see Vietnamese, Zomi, Spanish. So there was this confirms that these events did target and reach the right populations. Now, on the question about how comfortable they felt with using computers and having access to the internet, this was an item that we threw in there last minute because we wanted to kind of test the government's assumption that folks would not have any trouble enrolling via the internet. And as you can see, there's a steep drop-off here when you get to the 65 and over group. They reported not being that comfortable with technology and not having access to that technology. And in terms of uptake, what were they planning on doing? You have to remember the context. These are events that are leading up to the end of the first open enrollment. And we were expecting that they would all say, we're going to enroll, and we're going to enroll right away. But lo and behold, what we found, a lot of folks were still thinking about it and still needed to think through what was best for them and their families. So as you can see here, they needed to do more thinking, gather more information. A lot of the questions in the enrollment process are not as straightforward as we might think. For example, one of the first questions, what is your income? Seems very straightforward, but in the communities that these events took place, you factor in day laborers, folks that are self-employed. That question is not very easy or straightforward to answer. So the majority here are going back and having to gather more information. So what did we conclude from all of this. As I was saying, the potential enrollees were not ready to enroll by the deadline. There's a complexity of questions. Also, you heard previously, there's this enormous need for health insurance literacy among vulnerable populations. Also, the availability of trained navigators. They were scarce during the first open enrollment. There are a lot of them out there. I know Enroll America had received a lot of money, and there were a lot, but more are needed. We also found that the events with on-site navigators, they really do help and provide solutions to a lot of the challenges that that potential enrollees face, especially when those navigators are multilingual. You know, they can translate right there and then. They can also help guide them through some of the questions. And as I've said before, and you heard from our panelists, awareness of the ACA is just the first step. Really, more work is needed to promote health insurance literacy. And that's one of our first recommendations, to augment ACA outreach and education events with health insurance literacy topics. Improve navigator, CAC, and other assister trainings to better respond to complex cases. Another interesting finding we had is that a lot of the navigators and even the CMS hotline, sometimes there were mixed responses to really tough questions, like what happens in mixed status families, who is covered, who isn't covered. Those types of questions stymied the whole enrollment process, and it's something that that can be improved. Tailoring education materials to specific vulnerable populations, including community gatekeepers to identify and conduct education events with vulnerable populations. As you heard, community and knowledge of community needs has been critical, and is what these folks have done. They really, you know, they're the boots on the ground. They're the ones that really went door to door and asked for what are your needs, and were able to identify those needs. And so we need to replicate them. We need more of you, because that's really that's where this bottom-up approach is, where ACA enrollment and education is going to be important and effective. That's our last recommendation. Continue to fund community level efforts to identify the pockets of need. So with that, thank you so much. And
okay, thank you very much, Dr. Lee and Mr. Espinoza, for that presentation. So at this time, we have about 20 minutes for questions and answers, and we have our first person there.
I have a question, and I'm just out of curiosity. I'm not familiar with the demographics of your state, but there wasn't a lot of emphasis on Latino families. Is that because there aren't many in your state, or that just wasn't your target?
I can answer that question. Latinos in the state of Michigan are about 3% of the population, but the problem we had was outreach to the areas because of fear. I talked to a commission, the Latino commission, and I said, if you look at the numbers were enrollment numbers were very low for Latinos, given the number of our people in our state, and they said they were afraid. They were afraid of the government intervention. They were afraid because they had mixed family of documented and undocumented. They were afraid to let people in, so they just backed away from it completely, and that was why I tried very hard to work with the commission, but it was extremely difficult. Even though I worked with them in other areas, but ACA, they had no hands off.
Well, that explains a lot. 3%
is
very low percentage.
Very low
percentage.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm sure most of your states did not participate in Medicaid expansion, but did you still find that you found a lot of folks who were eligible for Medi-Cal during your outreach, even in the existing structure of your Medicaid?
Yes. I'm looking for some numbers.
going through the education enrollment piece, we found children, about 20,000 children, who were eligible for CHIP. Mm. And our numbers for Missouri, we ended up with 152,335 people who were enrolled through the marketplace. In Kansas, it was 57,013. Iowa, 29,163. And Nebraska, 42,975 people that were enrolled. Not as large, the number's not where we wanted them, but, you know, I just shared this morning with someone else who presented. Don't worry about the number. You have some momentum. And that's what this is about, because we know we need to continue the education to reach people who need it and help them understand so they are empowered to act. And it is the health literacy piece, too.
Yes.
The last presentation was a lot about different events that you were doing in order to conduct the outreach and the big navigators out there. Have you guys done anything in order to integrate the navigators into existing systems? As opposed to just having the events. That makes sense.
Could you clarify the question a little bit more?
So coming from Maricopa County, Phoenix, Arizona, so we're helping to kind of coordinate a lot of things on using events, but we're also trying to integrate navigator services into existing systems like our WIC clinics or other community health clinics that are there. So instead of just having a single events that are like, oh, come this Saturday, it's a one-time thing, it's always available in our clinics. So I'm wondering if you've done anything like that might, you know, be of interest to the audience or even help us out, to integrate into other systems.
In the state of Michigan, we have station navigators in free health clinics. We have station navigators in the county health department. So we have navigators in the WIC clinics. We have navigators in the mental health facilities. And people in those facilities of training, because it's people want one-stop shopping, and that's what the healthcare.gov is supposed to be, one-stop shopping. You go in one door and go get everything you need. People don't want to come out multiple times, so that's critical. You have to make it easy for individuals to be able to access the healthcare. And a lot of times, we have a My Bridges program in Michigan where it isn't just ACA, it's ACA, it's food stamps, it's housing assistance, it's heating, it's all of these various things. You have to put as many areas of need together as you can to really service the population. That's what you're doing. You're not trying to set up barriers. You're trying to make it easier. So that's a critical approach. You really do.
The funder of the Missouri Foundation for Health funded our Friendly Qualified Health Centers, who was a key partner of us. They also funded our Health and Human Services section, our homeless services, to assist us. So there were pockets of where people could just on a routine go in and get signed up to hear more information. So we were, just like public health, we define the problem, describe the problem, open the door, and then there are other doors that we lead you to that's most convenient for you to receive the services. So yes, we did do that.
And so just to add on to what they've said, one of the things that you want to remember also is that the regional health equity councils are not service providers, but they're able to connect, because of the people who sit on the councils, they're able to connect people who need services with those services and to bring partners who have the ability to meet different needs together. And so that's really what the focus of this work was. Any other questions? Yes, the lady. So actually, Oscar, that was in your evaluation slide, because that was from Region 2. Yeah. So the person who did that work is not on this panel today. That was from Region 2. So we won't be able to give you much details, but if you want us to connect you to the person, we can definitely do that. She's in New Jersey. So that's right next to New York.
I did an event for incarcerated individuals as well. And what happened, there were men, and all of these men were men who had never had health insurance before. And so that was why we really had to educate them and Now you have a card. What can you do with it? What does it afford you? What can you get? And it was just interesting. There was this one person who really wanted to go back to jail because he'd been in prison or incarcerated in various ways since he was a teenager. And at 31, he's like, I can't do this. I want to go back where I can be safe. So it's really important to almost hold their hands and to get them into a type of health care because they need it.